to decide as she studied the rough-hewn, rocky tunnel entrances looming out of the darkness to her left and her right. The rain, which had been pouring relentlessly for 2 days and nights, cascaded down the shaft from the surface high above, beating against her helmet and penetrating her waterproofs. As she raised her hand to wipe her face, a stream of cold water got past her glove and ran along her left arm to her armpit and beyond. She hastily lowered her hand again, shivered, and took stock, doing her best not to look down into the murky depths far below as she did so. She was wet, she was cold, she was covered in mud, but she was happy. Well, sort of, at least for now. Here she was, her 29th birthday only a matter of weeks away, and the realization had finally dawned that the time was rapidly approaching when she had to make a big decision. She loved her job, most of the time, but would she still love it when she was 30, 40 or 50? Being a geologist was all she had ever wanted to do since the time her dad had first taken her to visit the caves at Wookie Hole in Somerset as a little girl. The monumental caverns, the sparkling crystals in the rocks, the iridescence of the water in the underground lakes, and the legions of stalactites clinging to the cave roofs had impressed her deeply, and had set her inexorably along a career path that had led her here to this abandoned mineshaft today. In its heyday 100 years ago, the mine where she now found herself, Wheal Molly, on the westernmost tip of Cornwall, had been one of the world's most successful mines, one of the biggest global producers of copper with miles of tunnels, what miners and geologists like her often referred to as adits, extending out under the Atlantic Ocean. Now the only traces left of Wheal Molly's past glory were a few crumbling shaft entrances, enclosed by fencing hung with warning signs, and the ruins of a granite engine house built at the very edge of the rocky headland overlooking the stormy sea below. And hanging down here in the darkness today was Anna Porter, exploratory geologist with New Metals Mining Limited. The company's slick head office was situated roughly as far up the shard as she was from the bottom of this 200-metre vertical mine shaft. The irascible multimillionaire owner of the company was probably even now sipping his morning coffee as he looked out over the London skyline, blissfully unaware and quite probably unconcerned that all that separated his youngest female geoscientist from certain death was a length of reinforced polyester climbing rope attached to a winch mounted on the back of Charlie's Land Rover. As she hung there mulling over her future, she heard Charlie himself.
"How are you doing, Anna? Want any more rope?"
His voice crackled out of the two-way radio clipped to her chest, and she reached up to press transmit, feeling another trickle of cold water run along her arm as she did so.
"I'm fine as I am, Charlie, but if you could turn off the rain, I'd be grateful." "You and me both. If anything, the wind and rain are getting worse up here, and it's still summer for crying out loud. It feels like I'm going to be blown off the cliff any moment now. At least you're nice and sheltered down there."
"Nice and sheltered?" For a moment, her eyes flicked down past her dangling feet into the depths below. The water in the flooded sump of the shaft was so far below her, she couldn't hear even the biggest raindrops hitting the surface. She might be sheltered from the wind, but she had enough to contend with as it was. It was dark, wet, and potentially very dangerous. Could she see herself still doing this kind of thing in 10, 20 years' time? What was the alternative? An office job, maybe, but after years on the road, she knew she would miss the excitement of discovering new places, new countries, new continents, and, of course, of exploring underground, fueled by the tantalising prospect of making a significant discovery. What she wouldn't miss, she reminded herself, would be the hours she had been spending on aircraft and in hotels, some of them of very dubious quality, over the past few years. She had accumulated so many frequent flyer miles, she could probably go round the world 2 or 3 times for free if she wanted, but only if she could find the time, seeing as the company kept her on the road almost without a break. The other thing she wouldn't miss would be the loneliness. Although she did most of her travelling with Charlie, she still ended up spending many hours alone in her hotel room or walking through unfamiliar streets where she knew nobody and nobody knew her. The problem was that a warm, cosy office in London, while very appealing compared to her present circumstances here in wet and chilly Cornwall, would mean giving up her first love, rocks. As for love of a more personal nature, this had never been a